90.7 FM KPFK. Good evening, everybody. And welcome to Restless Soul, where tonight my special guest in studio live with me is the man responsible for the mix that we're listening to right now, Mr. Marcus Wyatt. Marcus?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come down and hang out. And
well, thanks for having me.
Talk about your music and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, we've been meaning to do this for a while, so I'm glad we're getting around to it.
Yeah, yeah. The new album is entitled Horizons, and it is your third release for Ohm Records.
Right.
And we're going to talk about this lovely album and the club, which recently celebrated 5 years.
Right.
And I don't know, to start off, I thought, since you've been here before, I thought I would, you know, start from a different side of things today.
Right.
And just kind of find out what it's like for you as a DJ. I mean, this is my own curiosity, but just in terms of kind of your life away from DJing, like, you know, what'd you do today? What's a typical sort of Marcus Wyatt day when you're not at Deep?
Well, I find...
Or touring.
I find various excuses to get near the water somehow. I live in Santa Monica, so I like to, you know, usually drive around or just swim, whatever. That's one of my favorite forms of exercise. It helps me, like, relax and listen to music, but usually other music besides house music when I'm at home.
Okay, so what kind of stuff are you listening to? What's in your CD player right now?
It would probably be... It's actually... A remix... Well, it's actually selections from Masters at Work that's coming out on Verve Records. But I usually start out with some sort of, like, meditative sort of music in the day. And just, like, it's usually down-tempo stuff.
Okay.
That I sort of gravitate towards at home.
You know,
to just take
opposite.
It down a couple notches from the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, what else? You're listening to music all the time. Are you... You know, doing remixes all the time. Are you constantly
no,
in the
it's
studio?
Not. No,
you're pretty
no,
much
no, no,
a regular
no, no,
guy.
No, I really try to break things up as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to go to the studio a couple days a week if I can. And then you know, during the day, a lot of my energy goes into you know, figuring out the direction I want to go with Deep. So
really?
A lot of energy goes into that, and a lot of correspondence, whether I'm talking to artists that I'm going to have or sort of okaying flights. it goes, you know.
Okay.
It goes all across the board with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But downtime away from the club is just... Water, tranquility, peace.
Yeah, yeah, that's part of the reason I moved back to the beach, because I really wanted to not spend so much time doing unnecessary driving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the driving I do now is the driving I choose to do, like, close to the beach somewhere.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to a bunch of errands that are taking up most of my day.
All over.
Like, you know, when I lived in Hollywood, it's just like... You know, it takes a lot of time to get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Like a simple trip to the store was mm-hmm. like half hour. And now I can walk to the store. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just, and you know, it's good because now I live 15 minutes from the airport as opposed to 45 minutes before. So, you know, it's really simplified things quite a bit by structuring things.
Okay.
To work for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
What were you doing before you started DJing?
My father is, well, at the time, he owned a construction company. So I was actually very interested in pursuing a career in civil engineering because I grew up in his company and sort of reading blueprints since I was 13 and stuff like that. And then after a while, you know, I had always enjoyed music, but then a few things happened to sort of intensify that connection. You know, I had a friend that was a DJ, and sort of showed me the ropes, only because he was tired of using my records to make tapes for me.
Okay.
Because I, even before I decided to DJ, become a DJ, I collected music forever. So I had a pretty extensive library for someone that wasn't a DJ, probably a couple thousand records that I had at his house. And so he showed me how to do it. So I was going to school and just sort of doing that on the side. As far, you know, at that time, it was, DJing was a hobby. Like, it was nothing, you know, I was thinking of as far as pursuing a career in. And then sort of, you know, one thing led to another. He invited me to do a party with him, and actually my first time out, I sort of rocked the party. And he said, I really think you have great ears for this, and you should really consider doing this. So after that, I sort of saved up my money and bought some equipment and started doing some mobile gigs, and I just really got a lot of gigs by word of mouth, really not even trying. And so just one thing led to another, and then after that was my trip to New York,
and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history, literally. Yeah.
But did you actually, when you were going to school at some point, were you working a straight gig? Or, I mean, were you working for your dad at all, or you...
No.
From school to kind of go. You started DJing, you just had enough work to sustain yourself.
Yeah, it was really amazing. I didn't really think about it until someone sort of mentions it, and I'm like, yeah, well, I guess I was pretty fortunate to get consistent work. And, I mean, but you know, at that time I was living at home, so I didn't have a tremendous amount of bills aside from my records, the records I was purchasing every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you also mentioned, in terms of your weekly and daily activities, you know, it's kind of thinking about what you want to do with Deep and all that. And, of course, or for those who don't know, Marcus throws a weekly party on Sunday nights at 1650 Schrader, which is called Deep. He's been doing it for the last 5 years, recently celebrated his five-year anniversary with that party. I was going to save it as a question for the end, but since you brought it up sooner, I'm curious, what are your plans for Deep? You know, what would you like to do with that party that you haven't done yet?
Well, I want to bring more artists in. I want to bring more live performances because I think that, you know, it's pretty obvious when we do have artists perform of various types, so whether it's a spoken word artist or a sax player, whatever, people really get into it. And I think it's really important to bring a face to the music that we, you know, the music that we play every week. So I really want to focus more on bringing some of the artists out. And and also want to do things with Deep, like, you know, do a few fundraiser type things. Now, I mean, I really feel like, you know, this whole thing has never been about me. It's about, I feel like I've been put in a fortunate position to do some good. And so that's what I want to do with it. I want to, since now that it's getting some attention, I want to use it to do some good. And so one of the things I plan on doing is doing some fundraiser type stuff.
You have some specific causes already, or charities, or things already in mind?
Well, there's actually a few, but I think first and foremost is the subject of AIDS. I mean, I would really like to sort of generate some funding through Deep to donate some money to AIDS research, and maybe, you know, some sort of charity in Africa, specifically.
Right.
I mean, there are a few. That's why I didn't really want to go into naming them.
Sure.
There's just such a need.
In a broad sense.
Yeah. And at this point in my career, it's just really important for me to do something like that. I mean, that's what I get gratification from. It's not from the attention that I get as an individual. It's about, you know, attention to the music,
sure,
and attention to you know, things that I feel are important to help through the music.
Sure. Like I said earlier, party's been around for 5 years. How would you explain your party to someone who's never been? And maybe even, let's take it a step further, someone who's never been to a house club before, mm-hmm. never heard house music before. And I'm, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to take you to this party deep. How would you describe your party to someone who's never been and isn't familiar with the culture?
I'd say a musical sanctuary. I mean, that's just really what I feel it is. And I feel that, and that's been the consensus of a lot of people that go there. And people that I talk to, they go there for the first time and they say, wow, it's just such a vibe in there and such a family type of atmosphere. And it really is. Okay. I mean, because, you know, I even find myself like, sometimes I lose myself in the music to a degree that I forget that I'm sort of running the party. I mean, I'm on the floor, you know what I mean? And so that's a testament to the vibe there.
Okay. In case you just tuned in, this is 9.7 FM KPFK, Restless Soul on a Monday night. Christy Lomax with you, your host and DJ, although we're talking to another DJ this evening, Mr. Marcus Wyatt, who is with me this evening to talk about his latest release on Ohm Records entitled Horizons. We're currently listening to the sounds and grooves you've been jamming to in the background are from Marcus's first mix CD that he put together for Ohm Records entitled Sound Design Volume 1. So, actually, we got to take a little pause for the cause right about now, but when we return, we'll have more of Marcus Wyatt and we'll be getting into some music from the latest CD, and we'll talk to him more about that deep and a whole lot more. So, do stay tuned.
Horizons. Listen to the rhythm. Breathe deep into your soul and illuminate the universe. Paint the rainbow of eternity as it manifests our dreams. Redefine tomorrow by rejoicing in today. Let the celebration ignite the flame of hope. Surrender your soul to the music and believe.
shall live. Take his blessings and his mercies that he's got to give. Just keep your mind straight on him. When everyone forsakes you, he'll be your friend. And I gotta tell you what he means to me. He opened up my eyes when I was blind and couldn't see.
I believe.
Oh, you got to believe.
I believe. If you believe in miracles.
If you just believe.
I believe.
7 FM KPFK Restless Soul on a Monday night. Christy Lomax with you in studio with Marcus Wyatt. We are listening to and have been listening to since we returned from the break Marcus's latest release out now on Ohm Records. It is entitled Horizons, and we're just very early into the mix. We're listening to Soam right now featuring Barbara Mendez with Musica. It's the NNY Funked Up mix. So I noticed on your liner notes, you thanked all your folks, you know, all the Ohm Records family, and then you thanked them for their hard work and dedication. Through their hard work and dedication, my most important project to date has come to life. And my question was, why is this your most important project to date?
Well, I think that because throughout my career playing music, it's always been, you know, very sort of spiritually based. But I think on this project, you know, I was able to conceptualize everything and sort of bring it together in a way that it was slightly more blatant than my previous projects. Mm-hmm. So it's important to me because if I was to, you know, sort of create a project like artistically from the photos to the liner notes and everything, this would be it. And so this is it because I had creative control in that way. And you know, I was able to, you know, choose the photographer, choose a friend that did graphics in Vancouver, and just really brought the family together. I was able to utilize a lot of great relationships I have to work on this project.
Okay. And between the two or the three CDs that you've done, how has the growth from one through three been in terms of the sounds and the styles, and what's been the growth pattern there for you with each different CD?
It's just sort of, it's more so just sort of taking music that's influenced by different cultures and threading them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this one is just has more of a spectrum of sounds, broader spectrum of sounds than, you know, my previous projects. Just like, you know, for instance, the Quetzal track on there, like, quote unquote, house DJs weren't really playing that track.
Okay.
Like at a, what you would consider at a deep house sort of club. But I put it in there and I play it at deep and I play it with other records and make it work.
Okay.
Whereas this song was known to be a huge song in Ibiza. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about the musical selection that we have going on here. We start off with, there's an intro by Omega, which we heard at the top of the hour. Then you have music here from Walter Jones, E-Man, Antonio Ocasio. He's got a beautiful track, Osinlade. Is this exactly what you wanted? Did you have a bigger pool?
Yeah, this
bigger
is what
pool,
I wanted.
Or?
How I choose my songs for my CDs are just basically the songs that I'm featuring in my sets. I don't think I'm going to choose this song because people might like that part about it. These are just songs that appeal to my spirit. So any given night at the club, you'll hear any of those songs, and you'll hear some of the songs from Sound Design, and that's just how I pick my songs, are the ones that I feel have longevity.
It's time for you to make the CD. you know, you go back and do another album. Do you do kind of a rough mix first and kind of see if that works, and then you submit that list, or you just submit the list and whatever gets approved, then you just mix from that?
Yeah, basically.
And then is this the first program of that mix? Like,
yeah,
is this
really.
Exactly?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You haven't, like, tried a bunch? You didn't try a bunch of different combinations?
No, this
first
is
to get
a strange... I mean, it was just a very unique sort of mindset that I took on this one. I was very relaxed about it, and I really just sort of milled around the house, did things, talked to friends on the phone. Like, I didn't have that pressure of, like, I've got to turn this thing in. It was like, you know, I listened to some of the songs, but I never really sequenced them or anything. And then I just said, oh, yeah, Chris needs this mix tomorrow. You know what I mean? And I literally, like, I mixed it once, and then I listened back to it, and one of my RCAs were loose, so I only got one side. So I mixed it again, and that was it. And I had to get it to FedEx by 6 o'clock, and I got done at maybe 5. And so it just worked out like that. And for some reason, like, I just remember some of my other projects, I'm like, oh, you know, there was a lot more pressure you put on yourself. And then you realize that there's just a higher power at work. So whatever, you know, there's no reason to really stress out about these things. It's just, and once I got, you know, you really have to sort of believe it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just sort of intellectualize it and sort of convince yourself, but I really felt it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I, you know, and I, so I mixed it accordingly. And I just sent it out, and I just sort of knew that they'd be happy with it. I knew I'd be happy with it. And there's just been some little divine intervention with this project altogether.
Really?
Yeah, some things happened along the way that let me know I was on the right path.
Anything you care to share? Or are they very
well? There
personal?
Was just there was a couple things that happened with when I came up with the concept of you know, I knew I was going to call it Horizons, and I wanted to make the sun part of the photo, because sun just represents energy and spirituality to me and everything. But it was never really something that I felt was totally necessary for me to be in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I actually had about let's say 4 photo shoots get rained out in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of took that as a sign that, you know, I should sort of take a look at everything that was sort of going on with me at the time. And then I sort of, without going into detail, sort of took care of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt an amazing amount of, like, just clarity all across the board.
Like a weight was
yeah,
lifted.
Yeah,
it
was really, it was really incredible. And I knew it right away. And then sort of had what was going to be my last photo shoot scheduled the next day. And it was just the most beautiful day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, you know, and actually when my photographer showed up, I realized that was actually the first day I really felt like doing it.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. So the other days were sort of more of like, you know, trying to meet a deadline
mm-hmm.
for the label,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so how the photo came about was we were taking some photos. We were really taking some great shots at the beach right there in Santa Monica. And, you know, we were just sort of waiting for the sun to drop a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
my photographer's like, well, Marcus, we've only got Kristen. I don't want it to be anonymous. Anyway.
Yeah, she might get some work out of this.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so she told me, she said, well, I like really shooting with the digital camera. And I've only got about 2 shots left. And I'm like, well, that's fine. I mean, I think we have plenty of stuff, whatever. You know, and she's like, my battery's getting low on the camera, because we had shot a lot at that point. And then she said, well, you know, we can take, you know, another one or whatever. And I was like, well, I did think of doing something like this. And that's when I did the Namaste pose. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hold it right there. And she just took the picture and she showed it to me. And we both said, that's a cover. Mm-hmm. And then the camera blanked out because the battery's, you know, when I mean, that was, so it was literally the last picture.
Right.
And then, you know, we took it home to my house and pulled it up on the computer. And we were like, yeah, that's it. And so I knew when I sent it to the label that that was it. I knew they were going to be happy with the photo. You know, there was just things along the way. Like, I just knew.
Right.
You know, and then I sort of had the CD mixed, and they were, this is sort of prior to that. And I just realized that I just didn't want to start the CD out with beats. It like meant too much to me. I wanted to set people up for the journey. And I said, I would really like some sort of spoken word thing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. in the beginning. And so I called Chris and I was like, Chris, what do you think of the chances are of me getting Omega to come in real quick and do something? He's like, well, we already have the mastering session scheduled and all that. And it was just one of those things that I thought of. And I said, even if they can't do it, I have to try. Mm-hmm. So everything I just tried happened on this project. You know, I said, even if, you know, Omega can't do it, that's fine. But I have to know that I tried. And so what happened is he called Omega and she said she'd do it. And he's like, well, she doesn't really write, but, you know, you'll have to write something and get it to us by such and so time. So I start to write something, and it was cool because one of my other friends, she always says cool stuff to me, my friend Suzanne. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Suzanne, and I told her what was going on. I was like, I want to write something about Horizon. I'm going to come up with some stuff myself. And so she's like, all right, well, I've got a meeting. And And so she came back and wrote a few things. So I basically took some of her stuff, some of mine, and something else that my other friend Kim said. And it just all came together. Uh-huh. And I actually enjoyed that more than writing it all myself, just
right.
knowing that my friends were involved with the project. And so we wrote it, and I sent the email, and Omega read it in the studio, and they sent it back to me, and that's perfect. I was like, that's exactly what I wanted to happen. So
Hate to interrupt the song. It's one of my favorite tracks on this album. It is E-Man, and it's entitled Slangin'. Not Slingin', Slangin'. And it is a John Cutler mix. It is part of the mix that you'll find when you pick up Marcus Wyatt's new release, Horizons, which is out now on Ohm Records. One of the things that I wanted to mention about the CD that I like, which separates it from a lot of other CDs, mix CDs, done by house DJs or deep house DJs, I'd say, is that you're not using, at least to my knowledge, a lot of the same tracks that have been kind of floating out there. You've introduced fresh tracks.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I tried to do. It's just like, you know, put some tracks together. I always try to get a couple of things on my CDs that are exclusive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like the Mark Grant track is unreleased, and just a couple little treats for the people that buy the CDs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Something they can't find somewhere else.
Right. I'm sure it's a little harder for people that are already involved in the culture because, you know, we're in the club, so we hear the songs. But this one completely got me by surprise as well, with a lot of people on here that I've, you know, never heard these songs before. So
yeah, and it's not always about the songs. Yeah, I should clarify, because it's not really always about the songs not being released, but they're just tracks that you listen to and you're like, this has been out, but I think I can do something with this record.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some records on there that had been out for over a year or whatever, but you know,
they
just sort of got lost somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things you said when you were talking about the track Quetzal was that sort of deep house people don't recognize that or wouldn't play that. So I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that deep house, get to that deep house discussion. Just to say, you know, a lot of these terms are used these days. You know, I feel like deep house and soulful house are terms that have lost their value, similar to like neo soul, you know, I mean, there's a whole other discussion about that particular term, but, you know, it's like, what does that mean? I'm like, so what, you know, you ask someone, what kind of music you like? I play deep house. I play soulful. And granted, it's very personal. What has soul?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I knew we were in trouble about 5 years ago when I was playing at Deja Mamano, and someone comes up to me, a young lady comes up to me, and she goes, and I'm playing like Atmosphere by Carrie Chandler, and she said, do you have any deep house? And I'm like, you don't get any deeper than Carrie, darling.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, so.
So what, what is that to you? To you. Your club is called Deep. You know, it's like, what does Deep mean to you, Marcus Wyatt? How would you define it?
It more so represents the feeling, you know, as opposed to, I just really never really, it sort of pains me to even say deep house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a music that, when I got turned onto it, was just called house.
Right.
So, you know, I don't really get into branding it, but I guess to a certain degree, you know, it has been necessary, because what I found was there was a lot of people that got turned off to house initially that might have experienced house, quote unquote, at a rave the first time,
mm-hmm.
and said, I don't like house. And then then they'll literally come to one of our events and go, but I like your kind of house. Like,
right.
That first step, you know, I didn't like this step for a long time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's how they identify with the sound.
Right.
Is by coining it, you know, deep house or what have you. But,
right.
But then again, like the... You could say I play everything in a night then, if you're going to call it something, because, oh, well, he played gospel house. He played this house. You know
right.
what I mean? It's like house
right.
to me, you know?
Exactly. It's one of those, it is so much about a feeling, but sometimes I feel like it does need a word. It does
yeah.
need an adjective.
Yeah,
but deep
yeah.
and soulful have
yeah.
lost,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
in
yeah.
terms of descriptions, have
yeah.
lost their its meaning.
Yeah.
But... At the same time, I mean, because house music is going through a very rough period right mm-hmm. now all
yes.
around. You know, record sales are down. Clubs
yeah.
are struggling. And
right.
so, you know, somehow there needs to be some sort of meeting of the minds, you know, to get people on the same page,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, bring people together to keep the scene alive. Like, I'm someone who feels
right.
like now is a crucial time to be supporting this music and kind of doing
mm-hmm.
whatever I can to spread the word. Because I feel like if things don't change for it now, it could be gone
mm-hmm.
in less than 10 years.
Right.
You know, that's my personal feeling about it.
But, you know, on the same note, it's also time for us to look at ourselves
mm-hmm.
and figure out what we contribute to the state of the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think one pro I can see to this is it brings things back to being, you know, to having to maintain a certain degree of quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because people aren't putting out like just any record anymore. You notice it at the conferences here. People
mm-hmm.
weren't walking around with this mini pro. But I found like the stuff that I did get, a majority of it was good, as opposed to 3 years ago
mm-hmm.
where I left a crate of records in my hotel room because they weren't worth me lugging back to LA.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think, you know, on the same note, like there was a lot of bad music that came out that is in this genre.
Right.
So we
right.
sort of hurt ourselves by putting that music out, you know?
Right.
So.
And what about L.A.? I mean, you are definitely credited with putting L.A. or the West Coast on the map in that way. But there are a lot of parties struggling in L.A. or trying
mm-hmm.
to get going in L.A.
Right.
What do you think can be done about the sort of entire L.A. house community to
well,
kind of help elevate the whole thing?
Well, I definitely think it has to do with, firstly, I feel like it's really, you know, sometimes the scene can be quite fickle, but I think that, that I've been doing things the way that I've been doing them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of know where
right.
my intentions are or whatever. And sometimes, you know, there's a party where they want to start out playing this kind of music
uh-huh.
and not getting enough people, and then they want to switch to that music. So
uh-huh.
people are like, okay. You know
okay.
what I mean? Or it's like this week, and we go back the next week, so we don't know if we should go next week.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so there's a lot of stuff like that. But I think one thing that's helping things out is I've just seen a lot more support from
mm-hmm.
different people. Like, I go to different people's parties and, you know, and it's really important for me to correct people when they say, well, Deep's, I think they think I want to hear that Deep's the only thing going on. I'm like, no, it's not. My friend Sue does a thing called Balance
mm-hmm.
on Saturday nights at King and,
mm-hmm.
and Kate and the guys
mm-hmm.
are doing Free Thinking on Friday. I mean, there's a lot of things. But one thing that's probably my biggest pet peeve are people that think that they know what's going on in L.A. without exploring
mm-hmm.
the clubs in L.A.
Because mm-hmm.
there is some things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a very vast and spread out place. And I always say that it's easier to end up in the wrong place than the right place, but if you know where to go, mm-hmm. there's some good things going on, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like the community as a whole, the people that are doing the other sort of deep parties, do you feel like there is a cohesion, or do you feel like they're just sort of like little islands of things going on?
I think there's a lot. I really do feel that there's a lot more sort of sense of community right now.
Okay.
I really do. And that was part of the reason, like, I wanted to do the New Year's gig with Sue. Like, we got together to do a party. We've known each other for years. I've always played for Sue's parties,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And we just keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, don't ever think, like, we're on separate sides.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I want to see you just go to Deep, or Sue just wants to see you go to Balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not about that for us. We really care about the scene.
As a whole.
Sustaining the scene, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You're a DJ with a club that's gone on for 5 years. And one of the things that I notice is that you do one Sunday out of the month.
Yeah.
You'll take the entire night
right.
for yourself. Why just the once?
Well, I think that...
And I'm thinking in the, the sort of tradition of parties where you had one DJ all night.
Well, I think
I think
I've been playing here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of a less is more kind of thing, and I play other parties
mm-hmm.
here, and I play every week at least. One thing I should say is...
People
underestimate... how important the opening DJ is,
mm-hmm.
the DJ that sets up the guest. And so I enjoy that just as much as I like playing the main slot at the club when I've got a guest in town. And I really do like to turn people on to different DJs.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I always have.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's never been about me trying to flood LA with a bunch of different DJs, but it's like these are people that I might have seen in another state or country that moved my spirit, and I want to share them with the people here. That's really what it's about. And so I just, and I think for a while, I sort of underestimated how much people might want to hear me play all night until it just sort of, the consensus got pretty
mm-hmm.
overwhelming. And that was when I started doing the one night of, month all night, and it was really those nights are just really amazing,
right?
They really are. Like last night was just really incredible,
right?
So.
It's like an event. I mean, it's mm-hmm. your house and you're
mm-hmm.
there every week, but when
right.
you play that one Sunday, it's like Marcus Wyatt all night, you know
right.
what I mean? It's a
well,
big,
you know, I really do like those long sets, just like any DJ would or should.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can really take people on a journey
mm-hmm.
that way. And but the funny thing is, like, you'll get those people that say, you're going to play for 6 hours and whatever. And so my first thought is, like, I come from the school of playing all night long. Like,
right.
the club could only afford one DJ.
Right.
And, you know, we played the first and the last record.
Right.
So 6 hours is nothing to me.
Right. That back in the day, that's
yeah.
how it was done. This idea
yeah.
of like multiple DJs
yeah, yeah.
on a night.
Maybe about 10 years ago or something, to just get more people to come to a party.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's all that was about.
Right. And when you and all with all the DJs that you bring out, aside from the sort of the living legends and some of the bigger names like the Louis or the Timmys, are the other DJs, do they need to necessarily be for you? Like, what is that quality? Do they have to be, quote unquote, you know, deep, dare I use that word again? Or is there something else that you see in them?
What,
you know
mean
what I mean?
Deep as far as the style?
Yeah.
Well, no.
You know
because
what I, mean?
I wouldn't have people like Mark Farina play. I mean, his sound is like, you know, it's
uh-huh.
not quite deep, but it's about a feeling. It's about a vibe that you can create
mm-hmm.
as a DJ. That's all it's about.
Okay.
You know.
It's about the vibe.
But it's definitely got to have some soul there. I mean, that's what I'm about.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Sorry.
So in terms of your own DJing, what are you playing now? What kind of styles of music are you playing now that you weren't playing, let's say, just 5 years ago? Let's just, from the beginning of Deep to now.
A lot more African stuff, but I think that just happened because the quality of that style of music has just been taken to another level with labels like Spiritual Life and Tribal Winds and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like how can I not want to feature this music? It's like really incredible stuff. So I did find myself at one point just going, I was just, you know, I still am, but I just remember at that time, like, Spiritual Life was just doing it for me. You know,
right.
I'm like,
right.
I just love what you guys are doing, putting out these beautiful records.
Oh, yeah.
That I just, well, you know, there were just no other records
right.
before Spiritual Life of
right.
that type.
Right, right, right.
You know,
uh-huh.
and so it really took over.
It took over a lot of people's record crates.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so.
We miss them.
Yeah.
It's definitely time for them to put out some new stuff. They've
for
been
sure.
off the scene for a while. And in your travels, you play a lot of clubs all over the world. When you play in New York and you play in the play the Shelter, what was it like the first time you played the Shelter? I mean,
it was
this legendary club in New York City that's been going on for 13 years. It is.
Yeah, well, that when I just played for my tour, that was actually the third time I played there.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I played, I was just, everyone asked me if I was like intimidated, but I was just more honored than anything. Like I was just really ecstatic about playing a venue that one of the few that I felt their sound system dwarfed the one that I have at Deep.
Uh-huh.
So that's not going to happen very often, but it's really incredible to play in that room. And, you know, I always say this, there's nothing against the crowd in LA, but you just can't beat a New York crowd.
Right.
Because there's just like a lot of musical history there, and there's a lot of education. There's a lot of educated
dancers.
Heads out there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, they really, if you can get them there, they show you a lot of love.
And do you play exactly the same as you do in New York as in
yeah,
L.A.?
Well, it's really funny because people ask me, they ask me that, did you play? And I'm like, this is how I play. Like, Timmy didn't bring me to the Shelter to play like Timmy. Only
right.
Timmy can play like Timmy.
But you understand that.
Yeah.
You understand that people switch their styles according to city.
Yeah, yeah. But I would never, well, for one, my style has been heavily influenced by New York to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, there's no conforming going on there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
And that's part of the reason that, you know, I'm sure that's the reason Timmy had me play,
mm-hmm.
was because he wants to pick people to play there that he feels, because he knows it's like the Apollo there. Like, if you're not cutting it, you'll get yanked.
you would definitely get
yeah.
yanked.
And so, I mean, so yeah, it's great.
So do you feel like you have a specific style that you could put in words? Like, when people come to hear Marcus Wyatt, they're gonna get.
Yeah, I do, because I think what sort of sets my style apart is being here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, I really feel like this CD is representative of that. Like, there's some West Coast-y kind of things on there, like the Walter Jones track that, you know, you wouldn't hear Timmy or Louie playing.
Right.
Really, necessarily. You know what I mean? And
right.
so that's my West Coast
and so when
part, you know.
But. And when people hear that and they think, okay, well, that Marcus doesn't play deep enough, then what do you say to that? How do you answer those critics?
It's never been about them in the first place.
Okay.
This is, I don't do that to, I don't play to accommodate other people's taste. I paint a picture and it's like, if you like the picture, cool.
Cool. Buy it and hang it up.
Right, exactly.
Excellent. Marcus Wyatt in the studio. About 5 minutes left. We've been talking about music, his club, his new CD, most importantly. It's called Horizons. It is on Ohm Records. It is available right now. And before we get out of here, two questions. Fork records that never leave your crate.
You played one earlier, the Beaumont Plage track.
Okay.
That's just...
That's sick. It is sick.
Even my 8-year-old nephew was like, you know, okay. He was just... my favorite track is track whatever number it is. I've been listening to CD for about... And I was like, you're a good kid.
Teaching them young.
But that and Pepe Braddock's Burning.
Okay.
You know, things like that, just moody, beautiful stuff.
And okay.
Elements of Life. That's one of my favorites. And just Love is a Message, which is my favorite record, period.
Okay.
And
what are your four... What are four guaranteed peak time floor fillers that you drop?
Well, I would say... You mean something that's newer or older or
just
right now?
Right now, four records that you know you'll drop and they will run from the bar.
Well, Arrows Don't Change. Not to self-promote, but for those who like to get down, works really well.
And that's whose record?
This guy, Mele.
Marcus Wyatt, that guy.
What else is there? Finally works every time, whatever. And then there's, what song am I featuring right now? There's a song that, that's on the CD, Nos Vida.
Right, The Masters at Work.
That's definitely one of my favorite tracks.
Excuse me, the Louis Vega.
Louis Vega. Track.
Louis Vega.
Yeah,
featuring
exactly.
Anani.
Right.
God, when he was here,
there's
it's hard for me not to say little every time.
He's Louie now.
He's Louie Vega. He's all growed up. Well, that is going to do it for this edition of Restless Soul. Marcus, thanks so much for coming down and hanging out for this last hour and a half. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for
talking into the folks about the CD and the club and everything. Again, the CD is called Horizons. It is out now on Ohm Records. Also, you can catch Marcus on Sunday nights when he's not skipping the globe, spreading the house music mission at Deep, which goes down at 1650 Schrader. You could always check the website, www.deep-la.com, for info on guest DJs and Marcus's tour and all things Marcus Wyatt. Before we get out of here, any shout-outs you want to give? Anything?
Yeah, definitely to the Deep crew. Big C, Tamara, Sound Factory, Sandra. Slick. I know I'm going to leave somebody out, but, you know. Oh, and of course, the staff at 1650.
Of course.
Of course. No, they're real cool, though.
All right, that's going to do it. That is going to do it for us. You've been listening to Restless Soul with me, Christy Lomax. I'm here every Monday night from 10:30 p.m. until midnight, right here on Fiercely Independent KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, of course, 98.7 FM, Santa Barbara County, Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California. Tune in tomorrow and Wednesday.